Our final piece tonight is The Light.
Well, thank you very much to the young people, and it's lovely to hear young voices, there's no doubt about it, and it makes us all, I'm sure, very pleased to hear you, and thank you for coming and sharing, and also for our brother Morris for his kind words of welcome and for the encouragement even this morning. So we want to turn tonight to James, so that's just after they're Hebrews. We're into Hebrews 13 this morning, and now in James, and James chapter 2. James is interesting because in Galatians 1 we learn that he's the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, and how that he wasn't a believer. John chapter 7 tells us he wasn't a believer until after Jesus' earthly ministry. And then, remember, Jesus met him in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus met James after his resurrection. And James, no doubt, became a believer, a true believer, and a leader in the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And so it's good sometimes to think about the one there that was involved in this epistle, James. And it's James chapter 2, and reading from verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. See, this morning we're thinking about what never changes. And obviously, the Lord Jesus, we said, was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his sacrifice will never, ever be repeated again. It was a once and for all sacrifice. And as we come here tonight, we think here about faith without works is dead. And that's what the Bible teaches. Faith without works is dead. And so, as we look at this portion tonight, we think from verse 14 to 18, how that we think of dead faith. There were people in James' day, like our day, and obviously they had a head knowledge, and it never got down into their heart, and it never worked out in their lives, through their hands, through their feet, or whatever. It was, they had the creeds, they have it up there, and James, no doubt, had people like that in his day, and we have that too. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you know a lot about the Bible, and you could answer many's a quiz, and yet you look at your life and you say, has there been a change in my life? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your own and personal Saviour? Because here's the challenge we believe here in verse 14 to 18 regarding dead faith. You know, we live in a world where people like comfort. They like their comforts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what about commitments? It's good to have commitment. And here was regarding dead faith. And James is bringing this out very clearly. So we see, first of all, from verse 14 to 18, we see there a situation about food and how I'm sure all of us in all our lifetime, we haven't been hungry. You know, That's one thing about this land of ours. We live in a very privileged land, but we sometimes can take it for granted as well. And it says there, if a brother or sister be naked or if they don't have enough clothes, and if they're destitute of daily food, and they really need some daily food. And one would say in verse 16 to them, you know, just depart in peace. You know, we sort of dismiss it and say, well, that's not our problem. Just pass them by. Be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And so, here we are tonight, and sometimes we all talk about faith. Faith, it's great to have faith, and you can meet people a long life's way, and they'll tell you that. They'll say, look, I have faith. You know, I'm a great person of faith. Or another person will say, I'm a great person of prayer. And maybe when you get down to it, they've never, ever been born again. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And so here is dead faith. This is what James is talking about here. And it's possible to have, indeed, people trust in certain things. Maybe trust in your tradition, in the background, your family background or whatever. But the only one you can come to tonight is the Lord Jesus. He's the one that died on a cross and shed his blood that you could be forgiven. And so he can give you life and life everlasting. But here the challenge, I believe, here, we need to do something. And that is important. How that we can say, oh, I'm a person of faith and all the rest. But if that's all it is, if it's only in your head, then it's not real, genuine faith. It has to go deeper. And you have to commit yourself. Commit yourself to the Lord. Be willing to leave some of the things that you were practicing before and turn your back on them. And how the Lord, he makes you alive. And that's a wonderful thing. And you'll be able to show that. You'll be able to grow day by day. And there's no doubt about it. If you had a plant and it was dead, well, it wouldn't really. You could try to move it about whatever you like, but if there's no life in it, well, that would be it. And it's great when something is alive. You can expect it to grow and produce fruit. And so here is dead faith. If someone has needs and maybe your heart doesn't go out to them, you say, it's not up to me. It's somebody else can look after them. And you have no sympathy or whatever. Well, there should be a big question mark. Are you really a Christian? A real Christian? And I believe that's a challenge because we have plenty of people in our land. And I don't want to make anybody doubt they're Christians tonight. That would be an awful thing to do. But it's good to know if you're a real Christian. And so here we find dead faith. You know, here's the challenge. And it's clearly, it says here in verse 17, faith, if it hadn't works, is dead. And it says it's alone. It's alone. And how it keeps saying that in verse 20, faith without works, it's dead. And it says again in verse 26, faith without works is dead also. So the Bible is saying this here. I know when it comes to believing on the Lord Jesus, we often say, and rightly so, faith alone. Now, faith alone, meaning it's in Christ alone, in what he has accomplished for us on the cross. And I accept that. That's 100% gospel. But if someone says they have faith and they're only pretending, and it has never moved them, they have no interest in prayer meetings, they have no interest in the Bible or in fellowship or whatever, or helping other people along life's way, then you have to think, is that real faith? And James would say, bluntly here, no, it's not. Faith, actually, real faith will change you, because then you'll have the Holy Spirit inside you and you will want to live then for God. You're not your own. You'll be able to say, I'm not my own. No longer am I my own boss. Do what I like. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, and that's the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. So here we see dead faith. And you see in verse 14 there at the end, you could actually say this about the end of 14, verse 14. Cannot kind of faith save you? And that's what he's saying. Can faith save you? Can that kind of faith, the kind of faith that doesn't change your life, doesn't change maybe some bad habits or whatever, it doesn't change your desire for the things of God. Well, if there's no change, we often say there's something strange, something wrong. Because obviously Christianity is revolutionary. It changes you. It really does. And it opens your eyes and you realize, I'm going higher. I'm going to heaven someday. Because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and it brings joy into your heart. Yes, faith without works is dead. And we can help people if they have needs, and that's a good sign. But then you see, when you think there further on, and it tells us in verse 18, yea, if a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So it's good to help others, and obviously even a young person tonight, lovely to see them here. And obviously many young people, and it's most people become Christians when they're young, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But you know, one way of testing really is when it comes to maybe helping out, say your mum and dad are very tired and you're full of energy and they want you to do something for them. Maybe they want you to do the dishes, maybe they want you to do some message or whatever it is. You say, I want to play with my friends. You know, it's a good sign if you're a real Christian that you want to obey your mum and dad. And you want to obey your teacher. Obviously, you're getting away now for two months. I'm sure you're glad of that. But it's good to be helpful. And that's what a Christian should be. You know, when you're asked to do something, whether you're young or not so young, we should be willing to help other people. Especially if they need help and they're struggling with something. It's lovely when another Christian can encourage another one, and that is a good sign. That's works after you're a Christian. And so James is making it very clear here. If you say, I met a man one time in Killyleagh, a wee bit outside it, and I saw him the other day, so he's still alive. But way back 50-odd years ago, he told me he was in a certain gospel meeting and he became a Christian. And as far as I know, he hasn't been to too many meetings since. I'm thinking, you know, imagine all his life. He thinks, as long as I have made a decision, that's me. Now, yes, I believe that decision was real genuine. There's no way that man would have stayed at home when he had different local churches beside him, that he could go along and have fellowship and how he could grow as a Christian. So there are signs if you're a real Christian or not. Faith without works, it's dead. It means there's no life in it, no life at all. And so we all can examine ourselves tonight, and it's no harm to do that. And it's lovely if you look over your life and you say, you know what, there has been some changes in my life. I'm stopping reading certain things now that I read before I was a Christian. And I don't want to watch the same things on TV that are, maybe people are using bad language and things like that there. I don't want to watch that. And that's always good, a good sign. Now, then we move, how we can move along here. And from verse 19 to 20, I have here, demonic faith. For the demons believe there is a God. There's no doubt about it. It says there in verse 19 and 20, thou believest that there is one God. And James is saying this because he's guided by God to write it. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The demons, those are fallen angels. And how they believe, they really do. There's plenty of people today that tell you now, oh, I'm an atheist or whatever. Don't believe in anything. Well, those evil demons, fallen angels, they believe all right. They believe that there's a God. And how they believe that when Jesus was on earth as well. And how they said when Jesus was on earth in Mark 5 and verse 7, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You know, they fell down before Jesus. People that were under the control of those evil demons. And they acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. So they were willing to do that. And how? Yes, here he is. James is saying to people, look, you might say there's one God, and that is a wonderful thing to be able to say. And the Jews, godly Jews, could repeat that there in James' day on a daily basis. They could repeat this in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So, what was the result of this? The demons trembled. They had emotions, and they actually trembled. And that's what the Bible says. The devils believe, and they tremble. But obviously, they can't get saved the way we can get saved here. And how they know that one day they are going to be punished. But wilt thou know, in verse 20, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. So faith without works is dead. And so there were many in James' day, and there are many today, that don't really have saving faith. They don't have faith that works. And faith must be seen in action. There's no doubt about that. And even the demons, they believe. They believe. And they could say that when Jesus was on earth as well. But you know, from verse 21 to 26, we see something here, delivering faith. Delivering faith. And there's examples here. And you know all about Abraham. And how Abraham, you've heard many, I'm sure, a message about Abraham. And it tells us here about verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of a God. So Abraham believed in Genesis chapter 12. He believed, and we read that there very clearly. It says in verse 23, he believed God. Now that's a good thing, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're saved. When we know we can't get to heaven by our own works. No, you can't get to heaven by your works. But once you become a Christian, then you do work. You're wanting to help others. You're wanting to be kind. And how that can show that you're a real Christian. And so Abraham, he believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. So this is a banking term. And if we have nothing in our bank account, which every sinner, that's their situation before God. All of us were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And right from the word go, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we know what happened. They were separated from God. And then God provided, there were sacrifices. And then when Christ came, then he was the last sacrifice. And that's why there'll be no more. And so Abraham believed God. He put his whole trust in God. And God made him right. And it's like if you had nothing in your bank account and somebody put money into it, well, that would be very welcome. And when sinners have nothing before God, then we sing sometimes, "Nothing in my hand I bring." We can bring nothing, but simply to the cross we cling. Simply to Jesus we cling. And so, yes, it's great to have forgiveness. When you ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and be your Savior, then what you're saying is, I am going to follow Jesus all the days of my life. And I'm going to obey him the way a young person should obey their parents. Then, obviously, we want to obey the Lord. We want to obey the Lord. And he puts something into our account, his righteousness. Now, we often hear in the gospel, there's none righteous, no, not one. So none of us can say we're righteous, because we're not. And there's none of us good enough. There's none good, no, not even one of us. So Abraham believed God and was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Isn't that lovely? To be God's friend. And you know, we sing that hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." So it's lovely Abraham could say, not only was God his friend, but he was indeed God's friend. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So Abraham believed. How does faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us. Yes, it's interesting about Abraham. He believed God, but this was before circumcision. And Abraham was justified 14 years before he was circumcised. So he believed first, and then there was circumcision. And we know the challenge that he had there when he was asked there regarding to offer Isaac, his son, upon the altar. And I mean, it shows you, Abraham had obeyed God. He didn't understand everything, but he was a believer and he obeyed God. And we don't understand everything, even as Christians. But if you know whom you have believed, and you're persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day, well, you've got justified by faith and you have peace with God. And that's a wonderful thing to have. And so we see here delivering faith. It's great to have delivering faith, to be delivered, delivered from our sins, and the Lord cast them away into the sea of his forgetfulness. Yes, not only have we Abraham here, but we have also Rahab. And it is interesting to see this lady here, Rahab, mentioned. Likewise, in verse 25, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? So here's a lady, and she was a Gentile, and yet she had heard about the God of Israel and what God was doing with them and doing with the enemies. And she realized that she needed to put her trust and faith in that true God. And she was willing to risk her life in hiding the spies who came in. Remember? And she hid them under the straw. She took great risks because she believed that God was going to give the city of Jericho. And remember, when they were leaving, they put the red rope on her window, and how, when it came to the attack on Jericho, how that Rahab and her family, she had a desire to have her family looked after as well. She didn't want her family destroyed. And she was burdened about them. And they agreed, yes, you get all your family in under your roof with that red rope round it and you'll be safe. It's like, you remember, when they're coming out of Egypt, they had to apply the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel. And they had to stay in when the destroying angel went over and how they were safe. And we're safe as well. When you have trusted Jesus as your Saviour, that's what the blood of the lamb that was put on the lintel and the doorpost represented, a sacrifice. And also that red rope for Rahab as well. That points to us that Jesus is the true sacrifice. And when we are sheltering in him, we can say we're safe in the arms of Jesus. And it's lovely to be safe and secure. And so that's Rahab's situation there. She was a lady of faith and she was burdened about her family. And that's maybe another indication if you're a Christian. Have you any concerns for your family? People that are connected with you? You know, obviously the Lord knows our hearts. He knows everything. And even our prayers, our own private prayers. You know, do we remember those that we know about, those that you work with, who are around, that get involved in your life? And Rahab was a lady who had concerns for her family, and she wanted them to be safe. And that was the agreement. If they're in the house, if they're within the red rope, then nothing will happen to them. And that happened. That actually was fulfilled. And you know, if you're in Christ tonight, you're safe. Nothing will happen to you, and you'll be able to go to heaven. You'll never, ever be separated from Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, it's lovely to have faith. And we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. You see, Abraham, not only had he got it in his head, but he had faith and belief in his heart, and he worked it out in his life, in his dealings with the people around him, and how he was a man of faith. Rahab, a Gentile, she was a lady of faith, and how that not only did she know about Israel and about the God of Israel, and how that he had done many wonderful things, she believed it in her heart. And it's lovely when you believe it in your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that not only Christ died, but he was buried and he rose again the third day, and he's now back in heaven and is coming soon. And so it's good to have, like Abraham and Rahab, it's good to know in your head, and then it's also very important to believe in your heart. And then to be willing to live the rest of your life for God. And Jesus wants followers, there's no doubt about it. He wants you to follow him. And he wants you to obey him, obey the word, and to turn your back on everything that you know to be wrong. That's why he died, for all those wrong things. And he's willing to forgive us, but he wants us to turn away from them and please him in our lives. So it is important to have a head, and that's for truth. We want the truth, don't we? The truth will set you free. You do want, everybody wants truth. And then in your heart, you do need, deep down in your heart, you need to desire the truth. You need to want to read the truth. You want to hear it. And obviously for young people, there's plenty of five-day clubs and camps and different things, and that's wonderful to go along and get more and more of the things of God. And then your hands can act out the truth that God wants you to act out. Yes, you see in Luke 12 and 48, For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And so God has been given us so much, hasn't he? We have got our Bibles, we've got the freedom in this country, and how he can, God says to you tonight, come to the Saviour. Because he's the only one that died there on the cross, at one thief on each side, and there he was. He gave his life for you and for me. And so tonight, James will tell you there, as we read on down, there in verse 26, for as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. No, the Lord has made us alive, and we all have a soul and a spirit inside us. And so we're very unique people, there's no doubt about it. We're alive. And how James is telling people, look, if you don't have any compassion on people, say if someone that you knew, even connected with the fellowship, they had great needs, and maybe you could give them a lift to church, or maybe you could do something for them, and you say, no, I'm just too busy, I'm not going to bother, and let them go there. What did they do for me? You see? Now, that wouldn't be a good sign that you're a real Christian. A real Christian would want to do something for that person. Because we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, every Christian. And so there's a challenge tonight. How we don't want to have dead faith, just to have the right words in our head without moving down into our heart. And then being willing to obey. Obey with our hands, I'd say, and our feet as well. So we want that. Abraham, he was a man of faith. And so was Rahab. She was a lady of faith. And how the body, yes, without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. I just want to finish by turning to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and reading from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and reading from verse 1. We read here, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it's only the Lord could make you alive. You could never work it up yourself. You could never do enough good deeds before you're a Christian to make you one. No. That's not how you become a Christian. But when you become a real Christian, then you will do good works. Hopefully that's very clear. Because there are people who think they could work away. And it's not. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, and it's not of our own works that you can be saved. But by your works, you show you are saved. And that's the difference, because you get converted. And that's a very important thing. And then we can read there in Ephesians 2 and verse 5. We see, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And so that is important tonight. And I wonder, the challenge is, could there be anyone here? And you could say, well, I know, I believe all right. I have it all worked out in my head. But, you know, I've never really come to the Lord. I've never said, you know, I'm a sinner. And I've never said that Jesus was dying on the cross for my sin and shedding his precious blood. And so tonight, I want to be forgiven. I really long, deep down inside me, I want Jesus to be my Saviour. And you see, if you do that, if you call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you, and he'll save you now. So tonight, if there's anyone who has never become a real Christian, and you'll know whether you're a real Christian or not, if there's a time in your life when you've trusted Christ, then just examine that time and say, what change has come into my life? What change? You know, is there a difference? And obviously there is a difference. You're here tonight and you're here and listening to the word of God. And that's a good sign, a good sign. But also remember the demons. They believed that there's one God. And they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. There's no doubt about that. And how James is making it very clear. Yes, they could tremble. They could tremble, but that's all they could do. They could believe in their head, in a sense, but that was it. It didn't go any further. They couldn't be changed. Those were the, a third of the angels in heaven were put out there when they rebelled against God. And so we have that, and then we have delivering faith, and praise God for delivering faith tonight. He is able to deliver you. He can change you tonight, and he can give you something that will last for all eternity. Young people often quote this verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And tonight, that's what the Lord promises to give you, life to the full. And we trust the Lord will bless, indeed, his word to your hearts. We're going to be singing 440 years I spent in